Line.
Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Of Thessalonians, how many of you know that your spirit ought to be stirred and excited that everything that God has said would happen, it is happening in the earth realm right now. And I just in my conference ministered on the anointing of Issachar. And Issachar was known for having discernment. How many of you know it's time for our spiritual discernment to be sharpened like never before? And the only thing that's going to sharpen your discernment is the word of God. And iron sharpens iron. So we need to be tough and we need to be strong, but we need to get around other folk that are like that too. In other words, I want to break it down to you a little bit. Just sometimes you just have to make the word personal and then people can relate. Say iron sharp as iron. Yeah, I've been through some hard things in my life. And right now I don't have time to hang around folk that ain't never been through nothing. Come on, somebody. Because the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You ought to be tired of hanging around folk that don't have no testimony. They're so busy grumbling and complaining and crying about what God has not done. But I want to know if there's anybody in the house of the Lord that believe the report of the Lord. There's a lot of foolishness that's going around, and I'm telling you, if you get bound by what's going on the television, I don't care if you watch CNN or Fox, you need to tap in to the Holy Ghost. And Paul was talking at in the book of Thessalonians, he was telling them that, he said, I don't need to write you to tell you what's going on. You by now you ought to have enough discernment to know what time it is. You know, it's not time for us to walk around with question marks over our head. But it's time to exclaim the word of God, to proclaim and prophesy and decree and declare and come into agreement with what God is saying. You know, the word of the Lord says that you know he's coming like a thief in the night. In other words, Jesus is coming back like somebody stole something. He's coming back like a thief in the night. And so there are a lot of things that are happening. We should not be surprised. Why are we so overwhelmed about earthquakes? Why is it so hard to believe, come on somebody, that the storms are coming? And why are we so upset about wars and rumors of wars? Because these are the things that have been spoken by the prophets. By the prophets of old and by the prophets of today. There's nothing that's done in the earth realm that has not been revealed unto the prophets. And that's why God is raising up Issachars and those who not only know what time it is, but they're not afraid of what time it is. Because in the book of Thessalonians, it says when they say peace and safety, and just when they think everything is over, there will be sudden destruction again. It'll be like a woman travailing in pregnancy, and they shall not escape. Look at your neighbor and say, who are they? And they shall not escape. I'm a firm believer that there's a day coming, and it's right around the corner, where every knee shall bow. And let me give you this revelation. They won't be bowing one knee. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So yes, church, it is time to bow the knee. But I suggest you get down on both of them. And it's not so much about the country, but the creator of the country. Come on, somebody. We need to get to the root. I love America. I love my country. And I love God's people. But how many of you know we got to get to the place where we love Jesus? And when you love Jesus, it'll be for the Lord I live and for the Lord I die. Some folk ain't gonna like it, but there ain't a thing they can do about it. Because when you got the seal of God on your head, you're gonna have to learn to walk through some things. And you got to become iron, and you got to connect with other people so that your iron will sharpen their iron and their iron will sharpen your iron. But if you hang around folk that are scared, just when they said peace and safety, just when one storm was over, another storm came. Just come on, somebody. Are y'all hearing me? It's time to pray like never before. I'm not surprised that there's prayer conferences all over America. There's prayer conferences all over the world. Because God say, if my people pray. I see everybody got a big if on their shirt. But are we ready and are we in place to meet the mandate of prayer? Are we willing to get on the wall and stand in the gap and make up the hedge? And I am telling you, it's time for us to pray like we never prayed before. And I love the Lord on how his word instructs us. Because there are many people, they're allergic to instruction. But the word of God instructs us. It gives us direction. And if we will follow the instructions of the word of God, how many of you know everything's going to be all right? Because all things work out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You got to walk in what God called you to walk in. Be who God called you to be. And can I tell you, ain't nobody going to be mad but the devil. The Bible says that there's going to be all these things happening, but it goes on to say, but if you are not in darkness, you shall not be overtaken. Come on, put your hand on your heart right now. Say, I'm a child of the light, and I shall not be overtaken. It says the day will not overtake you as a thief. Because you are children of the day, because you are children of the light. The word of the Lord in the book of Thessalonians goes on to tell us, it gives two specific things that I believe intercessors need to be very sensitive. It's time for us to be not so much discerning, but sensitive. There's a difference. When you're sensitive, something sensitive is touchy. Something sensitive, it means that no matter what's going on, you'll catch it. So it's time to be sensitive to the instruction of the Lord. And the first instruction I got out of this passage of scripture, it says, do not sleep. The second one was watch and be sober. Now, I had a dream a long time ago, and I was on TBN, and a lot of folk criticized it, but how many of you know God showed it to me for a reason? And in this dream, we were in a big building, and it was a building, and they had rooms, and the different ministers and the different intercessors in my church, they were in that building. And I woke up, and I saw witches were breaking in, and they were trying to break in, and they were trying to infiltrate, and they were trying to get in our midst and operate in the midst of us without us knowing. And I began to sound the alarm. I began to yell out. I began to cry loud and spare not. And I began to say what was going on. And everybody was walking out of their rooms, wiping their eyes because they were sleepy. Uh-huh. But you need to know that if you're sleepy, you cannot be sensitive. That's why you got to be alert. You got to be sober because the enemy is creeping. You know, the Bible says he's going around like a roaring lion, but I'm telling you, he's creeping. And he's seeking out whom he may devour. And you know, the Bible says that the enemy, he creeps in unawares. He comes in the places where you're desensitized, the places where you're numb, the places where you become familiar, the places where spirituality has become put on the back burner. And he's looking for that place in our lives where we second guess God. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like the longer you're saved, you know, when you first got hit by a bolt of lightning, you saw everything. And God did need to do something in us because everything was a devil and everything was an angel. Come on, somebody. He had to give us some balance. But you don't want to get to the place where you become numb. And you cannot sense, and you cannot feel and discern what time it is. I believe that we're getting ready to walk in a realm where we can walk in a room and we'll be able to spot a devil on a dime. Come on, somebody. You know, you walking and you ain't saying nothing, but your spirit saying, devil, 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 witch, imp. You ain't got to say nothing. People get mad at you because your spirit man saying, devil, devil, witch. So this is not the time to sleep. It's the time to watch and be sober. It says, for they that sleep, sleep at night. And they that are drunken at night. So let those of us of the day be sober. I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. And the Bible says that if we raise our children in the way that they should go, they will not depart. I'm telling you, don't be discouraged because it seems like your children don't want to do the things of God, and they're so drawn into the things of the world. But I tell you, just keep putting the seed of the word on the inside of them. And when trouble comes, because they are children of the light, because they are children of day, they will rise up and hold that righteous banner. I have twin boys that play for the University of Maryland. And I found out that they have, and I pray that y'all hear what I'm saying, they got some porno site. And this porno site has, I wish I could remember the name of it. God knows I would bust it out. I can't remember the name of it, but we just say there's a porno site and it has underage girls on it. And if you got a 19 or 20 or 18 year old and they go on that site, they've been arresting them for being a part of child pornography. So I'm telling you something has to be done. Because I know a pastor, his son was a virgin and got tied up in that and doing 10 years now, they tried to give the boy life. So I pray this word is going out, come on, over the internet, going out, you know, through the CDs. Listen, we got to raise our children in the way that they should go. And the first thing I did was after the man called me to talk to me about can I pray for his son and to let me know the situation, I couldn't wait to stop talking so I can call my children. He was talking to me and I was texting, don't go on this site. And the twins text me back, Mom, why would we do that? D-A-T. Why would we do that? And I say, I'm just checking. And I'm going to keep checking. I got a 38-year-old. And I'm going to keep checking. Come on, somebody. I got a 25-year-old and I'm going to keep checking. I got two that are about to be 20 and I'm going to keep checking. Listen, I'm going to always be your mama. And I'm going to be a praying, fasting. When you come to my house, I'm going to be laying hands on you. Come on, somebody. We got to create an atmosphere. Create an atmosphere in our homes. You know, 1,000 may fall to one side, 10,000 to the other, but no harm is coming, not my dwelling. As for me and my house, I don't care what y'all do out there. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. And I'm going to tell my children what is right. The devil is getting more bold every day. And he hate with a passion people that are bold for Christ. But I hear a sound in the spirit. There's a marching in the spirit. There's a remnant coming forth in the spirit of young people that are rising up. And they will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where sin abounds, grace is going to much more abound. And they will not shut their mouths. They will not hold their heads down and be ashamed. They'll hold their heads up and tell the devil to get over it. And just quickly, I want to run through the instruction. Touch your neighbor and say, hear the instruction of the Lord. It's okay to preach and shout. I'm a holy roller. Hallelujah. I pray in tongues. I cast out devils. And I am a holy roller. I'm your worst nightmare. If you don't like Pentecostal or charismatic, I am your worst nightmare. I am all that you feared. So ain't no sense you sitting around, what's she going to do? Yes, in a minute, I'm going to break out running it up in here. And if the spirit hit me, I'll be talking in English, and all of a sudden, I shebo lobo koto robo baba shete. But it does us no good to do all that, and we don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I don't want to be slobbing and rolling and sweating, come on somebody, and feeling good and leave out of here and don't know what God is saying. There is a word from the Lord. We're not in the dark ages. God is speaking. And how many of you know there is a confirmation in the Spirit? And I've come to confirm some things to let you know that you are on the right track. You ain't done nothing until they call. When they call you crazy, you're on the right track. And you're not a good church until you've been called a cult. I'm telling you, when they start calling you a cult, you have arrived. Them people over there crazy. They done lost their mind. Yes, because we have the mind of Christ. There ain't no shame in my game. Come on, somebody. People get on TV and do whatever nasty stuff they want to do, and I could do whatever I want to do for Christ. But you cannot be ashamed. Folk hate it because I'm a state representative and an apostle. Put the two together. And what you come up with? Baby, nothing but the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can put an apostle, come on somebody, in high level elected positions. These are the instructions I got out of, and I'm going to go through them. First of all, God said you got to know those who you labor amongst. Be sensitive to who you connect with, and even it goes on to say those who are over you in the Lord, because whatever is on them gonna come down on you. So this is the time not to have no play leadership. This is not the time to have leaders who are playing with God and not serious about the things of the Lord, because there's some great sacrifices that are gonna have to be made. And we don't need shepherds who are afraid and that will run off when trouble comes. We need shepherds that will stand in the gate and stand in the gap for the sheep. And I got a little bit more instruction. It says, and be at peace among yourselves. Come on, somebody. Let's stop rolling our eyes at each other in church and making folk uncomfortable in church. Why are there more people in the club than the church? Because folk are more comfortable, help me somebody, in the club. And if you go to the bar, I promise you can get a ride home. And if you go to the club, somebody gonna buy you a drink. All you got to do is get there. Some churches you go to and you'll be left behind. So be at peace among yourselves, warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. What they got too many problems. That's why they're in the church. This is the Holy Ghost Hospital. Why are you complaining about folk with problems? This is where folk with problems should be, the church. And for those who criticize us from the outside, we are not perfect, but we are being perfected every day by the fivefold ministry of God. And that's why it's important that we have apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And the reason why it's fivefold, because the hand of God has to be on us in all five areas. I got to be touched by the prophet. I got to be touched by the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. Some folk, they just want evangelism. Others, they just only pastoral. Then some don't believe in prophets. But I'm telling you, if God say fivefold, he mean fivefold. For the equipping of the saints. For the edification of the saints. For the training, for the impartation. This is the season that people will rise up out of the congregation walking in power like we've never seen before. Because it will be about the anointing of the believer. That's why we have fivefold, to raise up believers who really will believe. And when they believe, certain signs are going to follow them. Some more instruction. It says, don't render evil for evil. In other words, don't have a ministry of getting back at folk. Can I tell you, it's real easy to render evil for evil. God said he will, listen, how are you going to render evil for evil and you're going to miss out when God prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies? And my favorite thing is when God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy, let them eat. Let them eat. That's what they're there for. Bless them. Come on, somebody. Because the reason for the occasion is you. The reason you at the table, because I'm being celebrated. Help me, somebody. And because I'm being celebrated, I'm not going to be distracted by trying to render evil for evil. I ain't got to get you back. Come on, somebody. How many of you know success will get your enemies back? When they thought you were down, when they thought you were on your last leg, when they thought you breathed your last breath, how is she still going? Because I did not get you back. Because the enemy wanted to trick me to get you back so that I could be with you. Come on, somebody. But when I obey God and when I don't render, is anybody getting this? Get it out your mind. Stop laying down thinking about how you can get somebody back. You need to be thinking about how y'all gonna be celebrating together and it's gonna be in your honor. And you're not gonna show out. You're not gonna roll your eyes and look at me now. You're gonna show them so much love, they're gonna forget that they were your enemy. The Bible says when your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. I've seen it happen. Don't render evil for evil. That's some instruction. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Here we go. Despise not prophesying. One of the worst things you can do is come up against a prophecy. And even if you don't understand a prophecy, if you don't understand the vessel that's prophesying to you, don't despise prophecy. I remember when I first got saved, I just come back from Desert Storm. I was at a McDonald's, and me and my friend, we were so on fire for God. We was laying hands on anything that moved. We were looking around to see if we could lay hands on it. Huh, what was that? We looking at people. We know you want Jesus. I used to spend my, in the military, when I was in Desert Storm, when I was over in Germany, I used to spend my lunch break just sitting by myself looking for somebody that looked like they wanted to cry. I tell you, I was going to get them. As soon as you say, all right, I'm going to lead you to the Lord, cast the devil out of you, and get you filled with the Holy Ghost. So me and my friend, we were at McDonald's, and we had a long day, you know, of witnessing, evangelizing. And this guy come in, and can I tell you, if you had to paint a picture of a false prophet, he looked just like one. I don't know exactly what a false, but in my mind, he had on something, a black long jacket, and he was walking up to me, and woman of God, and my spirit just shut down. I was like, devil, if you don't get away from me in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I wasn't trying to figure out if he was with God or not with God. I just didn't want him with me. And then he came and he said, you're going to have twin boys. And I said, uh-huh. My husband can't have children. He's a false prophet. Listen, sometimes you learn from your mistakes. You have to repent. Come on, somebody. Get up, shake the dust, hit it and quit it. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Sometimes you have to look back and say, I really missed that. Didn't know I was going to get remarried and had twins. And I'd be, Lord, I just thank you for Elijah and Elisha. So don't despise prophesying. Be sensitive. Don't take a word from everybody, but be sensitive to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from the very presence of evil. And this particular scripture just really help me with pull together, because I'm telling you, I was having God. What I want to pull it together so that the people tonight can get what I'm saying. And this scripture says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Say spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And I before I talk about spirit, how many of you know we have to be careful of soul ties? Not just soul ties, but old ties and soul ties. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. You know, I just don't believe in being tied at the soul with nobody. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, Jonathan was knit to David by the soul, and he loved him as his own soul. Don't mean they were supposed to be. It just said they were knit at the soul. And I can't interpret that, but 2 Corinthians 6:4 speaks of an unequal yoke. And that word, unequal yoke, is a Greek word that probably this is not my night to try to pronounce it. Heterozygotes. Now, y'all gonna remember that? No. So I just thought I'd give it a. It's a different yoke. It's yoke. When you think about yoking of oxen, they have a yoke so that they can go in the same direction. So this uneven, unequal yoke is a yoke that will cause you to be connect with somebody that's going in different directions. How many of you know when you connected with somebody and they're not going in the direction that God is calling you to go in, it's going to be a problem. Because the Bible goes on to say, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? You know, you are a spirit. This is not me. I'm a spirit. I live in this body, and I possess a soul. And a soul is directly related to your mind. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, talking about the spirit, that when we die, the dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God where it came from. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord and searches our inward parts. Romans 8:16 says, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then it goes on, 1 Corinthians 6:17 say, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And right before that, it talks about he who is joined to a harlot becomes one with her flesh. You know, even as Hebrews 4:12 talk about the word of God and how it's sharp and it's quick and it's powerful and it divides asunder soul and spirit. The psuches against the pneumatos, the soul and the spirit. How many of you know that the soul and the spirit, the word of God divides it and separates it and divides it? I don't know. Have you ever heard of astral projection? That's how people astral project. Let me tell you something. God gave dominion to mankind not Christians. Y'all get what I'm saying? So he didn't just give dominion to Christians. He gave dominion to mankind. And how mankind uses it. There's some folk that will use their dominion on the devil's side. We call them witches. There's some folk that use their dominion on God's side. And for, oh, I don't believe in witches. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Well, I don't believe in witchcraft. Well, guess what? The Bible said witchcraft is a work of the flesh, and rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So which part of that you don't understand? Which part of that you don't get? Are you going to take some of the word out and, you know, you want the word a la carte? I don't know about you, baby, but I need the whole thing. I need all of the word. I'm not going to pick this. And let me tell you something. Let me go a little bit further. I am from the South in Florida where they'll fry fish in a minute with bones in it. Throw some barbecue, some hot sauce and some mustard on it and take that and move it all around in their mouth and get a loaf of bread in case they swallow a bone. The devil is a liar. I eat my fish fillet. I ain't got time to be moving it around in my mouth to see if it's God or not. I want the unadulterated truth. I don't even eat fish with bones in it for real. Soon as I feel a bone, I say, uh-oh, I ain't got time for this. Give me fillet. In other words, what am I saying to you? If you don't fully yield to that church, to that pastor, don't go there pick and choose, trying to see either believe it's a man of God or it ain't. Don't come to church on Sunday moving stuff around in your mouth trying to figure out if it's God. I'm not telling you to follow somebody blindly, but I'm saying have enough faith for fillet. Have fillet faith. Baby, I got fillet faith. I got time with no bones. And then they got them little bones, too. Now I ain't talking about big ones. I'm talking about the little kind gets caught in your throat. And they just, baby, just get a piece of bread, piece of white bread. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I ain't got time to be sitting around on the pew with a loaf of bread in case I swallow something that ain't right. I got to know that I know that I know that I'm in the right place, doing the right thing with the right people at the right time. I got to know not only am I in the teleos, okay, that's the perfect will of God. I'm in the topos. I'm in the right place. And the body. We talked about the spirit, and I'm closing right now. The spirit, the soul, and the body. I am a spirit. I'm a spirit. I live in this body. And I possess a soul. And the only thing that connects me to the earth realm is my body. And a spirit can't pick this paper up. You know, when Jesus came back, he said, touch me. Come on, I'm not a spirit. I'm in the flesh. I'm here. I came back in the flesh. You know, a spirit can't pick, unless they astral projecting and doing all that other kind of stuff. But in actuality, what connects me to the earth realm is this fleshly body. That's what keeps me from flying all over everywhere. But when I mention astral projection, the Bible says that the word of God divides asunder soul and spirit. What happens when the soul and the spirit come together? I'm talking about really come together. You would not believe what a human being can do in the supernatural. When the soul and the spirit, I'm not finna get it because I'm going to be on the internet talking about, oh, she done lost her mind. I have. It's been verified. I went crazy for Jesus a long time ago. And I'm loving every minute of it. And I ain't going back. So when that soul and that spirit come together, the soul, which is the mind, the intellect of man, can control that spirit and leave the spirit man can leave the body and astral project. That's just a little bit of what can be done. But the body, say the body. I just want to read this particular passage of scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And I want just whoever that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And this is Paul's vision. He said, 2 Corinthians 12, it is necessary to boast, though nothing is gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. Such a man was caught up in the third heaven. First heaven is the heaven you see. Second heaven is where the demons are, the principalities. The third heaven is the heaven of heavens. So he says, such a man was caught up in the third heaven. He said, and I know that such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, only God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which man is not permitted to speak, words too sacred to tell. On behalf of such a man and his experiences, I will boast. In other words, Paul was talking about himself, but he didn't even want to give himself no credit. He said, I will not boast except in regards to my weaknesses. He said, I wish to boast. I will not be foolish because I will be speaking the truth, but I abstain from it so that no one will credit me with more than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. Paul said, I want to tell you something, but I need to get the attention off me. So let me tell you about a man. Come on, somebody. That has been caught up in the third heaven and given revelation from God that's so powerful, so majestic, that I cannot even speak it in the earth realm because it cannot be translated in this realm. There are things, come on somebody, that's why you got to wear the world loosely. And you're talking about a house or a Mercedes. There are things in the heavenly realm that you cannot imagine. Things that God has stored up for those of us who going to make it in. I believe that there is a heaven and I believe that there is a hell. And if we really believed it, come on somebody, we would shift in the way we do things. He said, because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelation which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself and getting conceited. And you wonder why powerful men of God and women of God go through things. Come on, somebody. Because God ain't gonna let you get higher and mightier than him. God will allow something to happen in your life so that you can remember that you're not holier than thou. You're not holier than God. No matter how much God use us, we have to practice people getting the focus on God. Not putting us up on pedestals. I can tell when people come up and they looking at me and like, do you see anything? I'm just like, girl, I'm on the way to McDonald's. No, I am not looking at, you know, I'm like, do you see anything? Like we wake up and just float around in the air, you know, and we see, and I know God already. God ain't told me nothing. I'm not a witch. I know you see it. I know God. Now, God ain't told me nothing. I don't walk around floating in the air. Yeah, but Paul said there was a in the Greek it's a hyperbole. It's something beyond a superiority, something exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ever ask or think or imagine. He had this experience. The revelation is an apocalypseon. It's a divine uncovering. Something that flesh and blood cannot reveal. And he said, I got to have this thorn, this messenger of Satan. Can you imagine? What do you do about a demonic attack that God gave you to humble yourself? You can't bind it. You can't cast it out. Come on, somebody. You can't pull it down. There's no level of warfare that's going to make it go. Paul said, I prayed 3 times. And by the 3rd time I prayed, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So sometimes we're praying for deliverance and we need to ask God for grace. Come on, somebody. Because his grace is sufficient. When God ain't bringing you out of it, he'll give you the grace to go through it. And if you keep the right attitude, are y'all hearing me, anointed ones? I'm talking to the anointed. I'm talking to the seers. I'm talking to the gap dwellers, the gatekeepers, the ones who get on the wall. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul so that you would know the will of God for yourself. And then it goes on to say, no matter what you do, don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Come on, you're trying to pull that stronghold down, but God's trying to pull you down. Every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, hupsoma, high thing in the Greek. I bind the spirit of hupsoma. It's not all the time a principality, a power. We're pulling us down. God is humbling us under the mighty hand of his precious spirit so that he can exalt us in due season. A lot of people can't get their due season because they don't understand the power of humility. And when I looked up the word humility in the Greek, it literally means humiliation. Sometimes God got to humiliate you. Sometimes he got to make you shame. Y'all ain't gonna hear me. When you begin to think more of yourself than you ought to, when God put you in a position where everybody's laughing at you, they talking about you, they whispering when you pass by, honey, hold your head up and say, I'm about to step into my next level. Humble yourself. Paul said, I had a revelation that was so deep. It was so deep that God had to bind me up or I would have got puffed up. The kingdom of God is not just in word, but it's in power. Paul said, I noticed many of you have become puffed up. Can I tell you something? It feels good to be used by God. Especially people like me that come from the streets that never thought God could when they kept telling me, God called you, I said, call me to do what? Who's going to listen to me preach? Every time I go, and to this day, every time I go to church on Sunday, I say, they still here. I have faith, but I tell you, God keep me humble in that way. Folk ain't got to listen to you preach. People ain't got to buy your books. When I come on Facebook, sometimes there's tens of thousands of people that come on there, even hundreds of thousands for different things. That ain't got to happen. I go on other folk Facebook and see they be having 2 and 3 people. I say, God, I thank you. Come on, somebody. Not for they 2 or 3, but for the favor that you put on somebody like me. Come on, somebody. See, it's only favor that can make people follow somebody like me. It's his grace. Come on, somebody. It's his anointing. It has nothing to do with Kim Parrish. It has nothing to do with my mama and my daddy. Y'all ain't hearing me. It's about God calls who he want to call. There's some folk mad at me right now. Grew up with me. They wanted to preach. That's all. I want to be a preacher. I was trying to marry a famous football player and, you know, and live in a mansion and live like the devil. That was my plan. I'm going to party hard, drive the best cars, and live like the devil. I had no interest in church and church people. Matter of fact, church people didn't even witness to me. I led myself to the Lord. Now, I'm telling you the truth. The Holy Ghost hit me on my shoulder like this. I saw a movie Thief in the Night. That's why when folk don't believe he coming back like a thief in the night, I said, baby, he coming like a thief in the night. Because that's the movie that I got saved. When I saw how he was coming back like a thief in the night, I was on my way to Germany. Straight devil. No, I was a devil. Help me somebody. I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about me devil. So for God to use somebody like me and then got the nerve to let people elect me to be a commissioner and a state representative, girl, you better not get there and cut up. You better remember from whence you come from. God is good. And he is worthy to be praised. And if you can remember where you come from, I promise you, you stay on that road of persecution. And this is what God told Paul. He said, my power is perfected and most effective in your weakness. And that's why Paul said, I welcome weaknesses, and I welcome distresses, and I welcome insults, and I welcome gossip. Come on, somebody. I welcome persecution.
Beach, the new Praise 107.9.
Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message already in progress.
Wings. Two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. When, good God, when God gave Isaiah a fresh vision and caused him to look up where the King of Kings was sitting, he saw a crowd that he had never saw before. Can I tell you that the reason why you are still here, being held down, cannot go to the height and the depth that God wants you to go to because of your crowd, because of your circle, because these angelic beings were in the presence of the Lord. People, good God, who hang out in the presence of the Lord have a different crowd. Oh my God. See, people who hang out with God have different associations. See, the devil is not going to commit suicide. The devil not going to hook up with somebody that he know going to cast him out. The devil not going to hook up with somebody that he know is going to give him a run for his money. But no, what he does is he hooks up with somebody and attaches himself with somebody who won't expose him. He attaches himself to someone that somebody won't call him out on what it is that he's doing. And the devil, he goes away and he hides and he seeks and he steals and he kills and he tries to devour, because he knows if he can keep us in this little small crowd, he knows if he can keep us hanging around the chickens, he knows if he can keep us barking and pecking and squabbling and doing like chickens do, and just all this talking about this stuff and talking about can't never fly nowhere, just flap just for a minute, hit the ground. That's our cry. Now some of us, I told you last week we ought to drop down and get our eagle on. I told you last week that we ought to mount up with wings like an eagle. That's Isaiah 40:31. We ought to mount up with wings, but some of us, we're hanging out with them old chickens. All we doing is scratching around. All we doing is just scratching and then we try to fly. We can't go nowhere because we too fat. We can't go nowhere because we don't got no wing. But can I tell you, when you change your crowd, you'll change your climate. When you change your crowd, you'll change everything that it is that God desires to do in your life. God will give you a fresh cloud. He'll give you a fresh crowd so you can head to the clouds. God, he'll give you a fresh. Amos 3:3 says, how can we walk together and not be agreed? How can we walk together and be who it is that God wants us to be, and we're not agreed? We're not going in the same way. We're not going in the same direction. That's what's happened even at Truth and Love Ministries, because we're headed this way. This is our train track. This is our overall vision. We're not trying to be this church. We're not trying to be that church. I'm not trying to be like that preacher and that preacher and this preacher. I'm trying to do what it is that God have called me to do. And if we would get in line and do what it is that God have called us to do, there won't be any division. There won't be any trying to do this and trying to do that. We know what we're doing, and we know what we're called to do. I'm preaching. God will give you a fresh vision. I'm almost done. He'll give you a fresh vision, fresh upward vision. He'll give you a fresh crowd. And when you got a fresh crowd, you'll have a fresh conversation. Woo! I've got to give you a fresh conversation. Folk, good God, I don't want to give it away. Let me just read the verse. Look at verse 3 and 4. I'm not making it up. It's in 3 and 4. Look, 3 and 4 says, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Ooh. A fresh conversation. People who hang around God for real, though, don't talk like people who don't hang around. I used to always think, when I was a young preacher, I can say that now. I've been preaching almost 20 years now. I can say when I was a young preacher, you know, when I go preach at a church that they only got a year old, year two, I say, come on, son, let me tell you, son, how you ought to do it, because I got a couple days on me. I'm 35 now. Can I tell you that God? Can I tell you? I used to think that the angels were saying this to God. I promise you I did. I just think they're flying around saying to God, holy, holy, holy. But the book say they said it one to another. So because they're in the glory of God, because they're in the presence of God, their conversation was differently. They talked a different way. They articulated their words a different way. And what they said, holy, holy, holy. I don't know how you can have a fresh vision. I don't know how you can look upward. I don't know how God can change your crowd when you're always still saying the same thing. Your conversation needs to be holy. Your conversation needs to be about the things of God. And here, look what they said. They said, the whole earth is full of his glory. The angels were optimistic. The angels said, everything we see in the earth has God's glory in it. Oh my God, I'm trying to raise up a group of people that are not disgruntled. I'm trying to raise up a group of people that don't have a problem with every situation, but in every problem they see an opportunity. I'm looking for a group of people that don't look at their glass halfway empty, but they look at the glass halfway full. I want to talk to a group of people that can talk like the angels and say that God's glory is in everything. His glory is in my sickness. His glory is in my firing. His glory is in my discouragement. His glory is in what I'm going through. They said one to another. Oh my God, can I tell you that the angels, even on even the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant before, that little small little chest, and on the end of the chest it had a cherubim or had angels, and the angel's wing was spread over the ark, and in between the angels it was what they called the mercy seat. Underneath the mercy seat is where they put Aaron's rod, where they put some manna, and they put the Ten Commandments. And every time the high priest would come and they would offer up the blood, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat in between the angels, that's where the Shekinah glory of God would be symbolic and come and rest. Can I tell you that when we are crying one to another and we have elevated optimistic conversation, can I tell you that's when God will come, his Shekinah glory will come and get in the midst of us. Oh, if any two of you touching on anything, oh my God, and I'm talking about the word, and I'm talking about Jesus, said, I promise you, I will be there in the midst. Oh, God is looking for some people that's not talking about how bad it is. God is looking for some people not talking about how ugly this is and how mean and nasty people are, and how the church hurt you, and how the church did this to you. But no, God is looking for some people that no matter how bad it is, no matter how hurt I am, I'm talking about his glory. Oh yeah, it hurt, but God brought me through it. Oh yeah, it was mean and nasty, but can I tell you, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God is looking for some people like Paul and Silas. They were locked up in that jail, the Bible says, and it was at midnight, and Paul, Colby commentary, say, Paul say, my name start with a P, I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna praise. Silas say, my name start with an S, I'm gonna sing unto the Lord a new song. Come on here, they went to praying, they went to singing. And can I tell you, the elder, I told you, I talked about the rock and roll, the king of rock and roll. No, he wasn't the first, oh, jailhouse rock, but no, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4, no, but can I tell you that while they was there praying, while they were there believing God, while they were praising Brother Haynes, can I tell you, the Lord came there and he shook that place. Can I tell you, when you and I are together and I'm saying, don't you know God is good? And you saying, yeah, he good. When I say, what did he do for you? He said, he did this for me. When I tell you that God is good, you say, yes, he's good. When I tell you he healed my body, I say, he healed mine. When I say he regulated my mind, he'll say he regulated. When I tell you, when I go the word at you and you throw the word back at me, can I tell you, God coming to pick up his glory. When I tell you, when I give God some glory and give God some honor, he gonna shake some stuff. Y'all think I'm making this up? Look at verse 4. The foundations of the threshold. I told y'all a couple weeks ago how you sort of shake stuff off. Y'all don't. That's how you're supposed to shake some stuff. Verse 4 says the foundation. I ain't got time. I got to get out of here. The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him that called. The house was filled with smoke or his glory. Ooh, when I'm hooked up with the right crowd, when I'm hooked up with the right people, my God, that's when God's glory will be. And that's what happened. That's why I don't run behind everybody who jump off the ship. That's why I don't go behind everybody who leave this local church, because maybe you wasn't supposed to be here anyway. That's why I don't run behind folk, because can I tell you that if you're not supposed to be here, I don't want you here. It's not about numbers. It's not about members, but it's about us talking the same thing. It's about us being able to give God some glory and give God some honor. Oh, that will help you in your life if you stop chasing everybody who changed their number. If you stop chasing everybody who don't want to be your friend no more. I promise that it may help you in your life if you'll just let them go on, ease on down the road. If you'll just go on, let them go and stop running behind them. Stop being all heartbroken. But no, maybe you were not here. Can I tell you, we're not for everybody, but we're for somebody, because God has given us a... Yes, he did. Well, that's a fresh... When I get a fresh vision, my fresh vision gonna be an upward vision. He's going to give me a fresh crowd. We have a fresh principle. No, they ain't got nothing to do with it. We have a fresh conversation. And then God, born in West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, sitting outside with b-balls and a couple of guys. They were up in no school. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got a one little fight. My mom's got scared. She said, how y'all know that? I'm trying to figure out what's... my cousin told me. That's the only reason I know. My cousin told me. Look what Uncle Phil says right here. And God, when I when Jeffrey gives me a word, go home. What that boy name was? Jay-Z. What his name? Jazzy. Go home. Yeah. Anyway, let me keep going here. God will give us a fresh inward vision. When God gives you a fresh upward vision, when he gives you a fresh crowd, he'll give you a fresh conversation. And God will then give you a fresh inward vision. That's some good stuff, because when you really get in the presence of God, that's when God really starts revealing who you really are. I've told you, I've been so upset with my wife. I said, I'm going to tell the Lord on her. And I go into my little spot, and I've been saying, God, I can't stand this now. You got to do something with her. And then as soon as I get to where I find my thing I want to talk about, the Lord just start reminding me about some things. And I'll be like, man, don't worry about it. It's good. All right, sorry. I deal with it. When you talk to the Lord for real, have you ever went to somebody you want to pray on? Oh, I'm going to pray on them. Oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to, oh, the Lord, God don't like ugly. And then you go to pray for real, Lord start reminding you of all this stuff. And you be like, I was just playing, God. You know, she all right. She all right. Look what verse 5 says. God gave him a fresh inward vision. And I said, woe is me. He didn't say woe is the nation. He didn't say woe is the rebellious people. Isaiah had a fresh inward vision. Oh my God, reason why some of our visions is no longer fresh. Reason why it's become stale. Reason why it's become stagnated. Reason why it's lost its zest and its zeal and its momentum is because we spend all our time looking outwardly at everybody else. Everybody else is the problem. Everybody else is the victor. And I'm always the victim. But Isaiah, when he saw God for real, he said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. You see this? When he saw that different crowd and heard their conversation, it made him do a self-examination. He said, my God, I need you. Anybody who loved God for real knows that they need God. Anybody that loves God for real and trying to obtain and do what it is that God has called them to do, they realize their frailty. They realize if God don't help them, that they will not get, you know, they will have no success. If God be not with them, then come on here, they'll know. You don't got to worry about your boy getting the big head. You don't got to worry about me thinking I got this thing figured out, because I know I'm not that smart. I know me. Come on here, somebody. I know me, and I know if God is doing this, it's because of him. I know everything I know. He taught it to me. Everything I have, he gave it to me. Oh, whoever I am who I am by the grace of God. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm trying to help somebody get a fresh vision. Maybe there's some things inwardly that you need to discuss. Maybe there's some things inwardly that you need to talk to the Lord about so he can help you deal with some of these things so you can get a fresh vision. I'm just gonna cobardize this story. There was a husband and a wife in the car, and the wife was saying, Harry, clean off the windshield, we can't see anything, you're gonna wreck this thing. And so Harry did what every good husband does. He does what his wife says. He gets out and he takes a little squeeze and he cleans, and she said, you ain't did nothing. It's still, you see all these spots and all this stuff. He said, hey, God, now he's getting a little frustrated now. So now he go in the house, get a little Windex and a little newspaper and clean the windshield off. And he get back in the car. She's still not satisfied. He look at her and say, baby, take your glasses off and clean your glasses. All the stuff is on you. You got a lot of smut on your glasses. Oh, my God. Can I tell you, I just made that whole thing up just then. Can I tell you that what God would do? God would allow us to have some smut. Oh, we trying to fix the windshield. We trying to fix the bigger picture. We trying to fix what's wrong with everything else. And we trying to get everybody to fix everything else. But the problem is with my glasses. The problem is with my vision. The problem, oh, my my God, God to give us a fresh inward vision, and God to give us a vision to say, God, if you never change them, God, change me. Oh my God, let me speak that over every married couple that's struggling and straining and straining and struggling, and you're praying that God change your husband, you're praying that God change your wife, and God says to you today that if they never change, I want to change you. Oh, I told you on Thursday night that prayer is not to inform him. Prayer is to help you get inspired and for God to change you. Oh my God, he said that there's a fresh inward vision. Oh my God, but this fresh inward vision, it births something in the man of God. Oh my God, when God gives you a fresh vision, he'll give you a fresh upward vision. He'll give you a fresh crowd, a fresh conversation, a fresh inward vision, and it ought to birth a fresh inner fire. Oh my God, Isaiah got a fresh